What happened there? Are we good? We're going?
Yep, we're going.
This is how
this is how we do it.
This is largely a group of professional podcasters, web developers, and me. I am joined, as always, by buzzard trainer Allison. And
I sure do like me some
Berman trainer Chris.
I sure do like me some Berman.
Happy to be here. A little panicky on this chilly Thursday morning, wearing my bananas on skateboard socks. Allison, that's from sunny Florida. Allison is joining us from just south of the Arctic Circle. And Chris is joining us just east of the western seaboard. The show is
geography is good
stuff, and we kind of meander our way through a topic. By the end, you will have learned something, probably not related to the topic. At least I always do. Hopefully, you do.
The learning is just the cherry on top of the sundae.
If this isn't, you go to binaryjazz.us and find a show that starts with Chris talking, and you'll be totally fine. That's the way we need to do this.
Preferably start an episode that doesn't begin with me hitting the record button before Gary is even prepared to do intros.
Which is every other episode.
Which is,
so if this is an even-numbered episode, pick an odd-numbered episode. And allegedly, this is an even-numbered episode. Allegedly, this is episode 40, though we have no proof of that.
The fact that you need proof, I really enjoy as well.
I was thinking about it the other day that I'd sort of lost track of where we were in binary on episodes. And then I thought, I don't care.
That was my thinking as well. I was just like, I'm okay with this. Letting it slip away into the void.
Yes, for those keeping track in binary, this would be episode 101000. But if you're listening to this or looking at the posts on the site or looking at the podcast in your podcast app or something, or looking at it on YouTube, you would have already known that. We're the ones that don't know that.
Yeah. We're upholding a standard for ourselves that that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, what kind of prep time usually goes into this show? I'll speak for myself and say, I spend minutes
when we record. I spend longer than minutes, much to my own detriment. This turns into a book report situation for me, usually.
I spend much more time at the end in the Wikipedia black hole.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can you hear the cat?
Yeah.
Yes.
So no squeaky door today. Instead, we have an old deaf cat. He forgets that there's people here, so he starts yelling, and then you walk up and pat him, and he panics because he didn't hear you coming up behind him.
That's also very endearing. I also like how loud he is because he can't hear how loud he is.
No, the best part is this is like a normal thing at night now.
Mm-hmm.
We turn off the lights and go to bed. 5 minutes later, he does that. Some nights I get up and I walk in and tap him, like, "Hey." I mean, he has Alzheimer's as well, because he can't remember that there's people here. 5 minutes later, it's like, am I alone? Hello?
We have a cat that does that as well, but she can hear. So she'll forget that we're around, or she won't know where we are, and then we'll say, Kendra, and then she'll stop. So I can't imagine what that would be like if the saying Kendra and then she stops wasn't a thing.
I almost wish I had a cat, but then
the frequency of the noise is also in the same level as a squeak in the door hinge, because I can't hear it. I mean, I can hear it, but not clearly not as loudly as folks on the other end of calls, because they're like, wow, that cat is loud. I'm like, hey, I mean, a little. Like, I mean, he's louder than you are. No, he's not louder than I am.
But, he's not. Yeah, he is.
Well, I mean, apparently the frequency response on these microphones picks up cats and squeaky doors.
Because how far away is the cat from you right now?
I don't know. 10 feet?
15 inches.
Like, it sounds like the cat is pretty close.
Like, right here. I know. It sounds like the cat is, like, yelling right into the microphone. No. The cat's, like, in the bathroom with a door between us. So.
I don't have these problems with my plants, oddly enough.
Your plants don't yell at you.
Your plants don't yell. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, you know what I should have done before we started this? I should have gotten a chart. Yeah. That too. I have had plenty of coffee. I'm a little worried about my battery life, so let's start killing some things. Goodbye, Docker. Don't kill Zoom.
Don't press that button. This is like your version. It's the developer version of Goodnight Moon.
Goodnight Docker.
Goodnight VPN. Goodnight activity monitor.
Goodnight PHP lab. Storm.
Good night, file merge. Yeah, I killed Storm immediately. Good night, Doctor.
Good night, PM, project manager, saying hush.
Yeah. Good night, Slack. Thing, right? Good night, Postman. I think we're down to it. Yeah, it's reasonable now.
It's reasonable. It's a more rational number of programs open. If you had shut down Zoom, I would have had quite a hearty chuckle.
I totally goofing around did that on a call with someone one time. We were talking about, like, how do you mute your microphone? They said, oh, command Q. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I hit it. And, like, totally, like, before I hit it, I knew what it did. I was just being silly. I'm like, I bet they think I'm an idiot. But it shut off the mic for what it's worth. Oh. They couldn't hear me any longer.
So that's one strategy. Command Q. Yeah.
No. maybe when I, like, have to cough during this episode, I'll just drop from the call entirely. It's the mute button. Pop back up.
I had someone quit by accident, like, mid-sneeze, because they, like, sneezed and then hit their keyboard with their hand, because they were like, I don't know, I just wish I had somehow captured video of it, because it would have been an amazing replay.
I love freeze face on calls.
Oh.
I mean, like, yeah. Zoom flakes out or Hangouts hangs out or whatever, and you get, like, the person that they dropped, but they're still there, frozen, and then they show up, and you have, like, them in the same setting talking, but then you have freeze face next to it. I capture a lot. Like, if it happens where they're next really to them, I can't help but screen capture it. You know? Like, how do you not? And then you post it in whatever, like, the appropriate channel is, you know, and everybody laughs about it. It's like happy birthday on calls. It's a bad idea, but you have to do it anyway.
I used to record GIFs of people eating. That was a thing. It was actually is actually continuing a tradition at WebDev of recording GIFs of people eating. That started before I was there. There's lots of GIFs of some dude that I never worked with, like, just shoving an entire hamburger in his face, or, you know, various of the. So I just decided I'd continue the tradition. So anytime I saw anybody eating, I'd just record them, and then play it back. And then.
What's your preferred recording app?
LiceCap.
Yeah. Awful name.
Yeah.
Awful name.
They're not selling any additional add-ons to me with that name, but.
No.
That's mostly out of habit. I think there are better things now.
Dropler has it built in, so I end up using Dropler a lot. Mm. I think Dropbox does too. I recording used to be a thing, but now it just happens.
I used the Giphy recorder for a while, but that limits the length of the GIF that you record. I'm used to LiceCap.
You want no boundaries.
Yeah.
In Dropler, I can record and then decide, like, is this going to be with audio, like a real screen capture where I'm narrating, or is it just a simple GIF?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a paid Dropler thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I'm like, I use the company Droppler. I assume they pay for it. I have no idea what's available in the free version. I've never looked.
So it's been a while.
Has it?
We had a little bit of break. There is the American tradition of Thanksgiving.
Oh, snap. I lost a week in there. Yeah.
There is the international tradition of Black Friday. Anybody celebrate the International Black Friday Day?
No.
No.
Did I buy anything at all online on Friday? No.
I did.
What'd you get? I got
myself a big-ass monitor.
Hmm. Why do you need to monitor your ass?
What's that?
Why do you need to monitor your ass?
To make sure it's big. Make sure it's like, the appropriate size. The appropriate bigness.
Is it the appropriate size?
So the real reason I got a big ass monitor is because I was working on a project and there were things that were happening at higher resolutions than my monitor would support in terms of styling that I wasn't seeing at all. And so I'd get these code reviews on my PR that say, oh, it's doing this thing. And I'm like, how did you even see that? And it's because they had a monitor that I could actually do that. So I decided that's a bad look. I'm going to fix that problem.
So that sounds awful. Number one, like I don't want any more than 15 inches to look at.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't have I don't want this 27 inch monstrosity on my desk.
Please don't take that out of context. So are you able to expense this or no?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But I did, and I looked after Black Friday to see what the actual cost would be, and I did save the company $100 on it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I also got a Mac Mini.
Ooh.
An old one. I want a new one.
Yeah,
new one's freaking awesome. But yeah, I mean, it's like, do you want to drop $1,000 for a brand new computer? And because that's what it is. And that's not really what I want to use it for. I want to use it for essentially like a file server. And also, like, I want to move all the videos that are on the network and all our pictures, like back them up there, like basically just have it sit there and host things for other stuff to connect to and not really use it as a machine itself.
I totally have one of those sitting like, since we're measuring things, I totally have one of those sitting like 1/15th of a cat distance from me right now.
Yeah. So I love
the Mac Mini as like a general server thing.
I spent last night starting to set that up.
I have a cool script that's probably not checked in anywhere. I have a cool script that if you use Cloudflare and you have a dynamic IP address, like it'll just keep whatever subdomain mapped to it with like about a minute latency because it's cron, but I don't really care if I have a minute downtime on that thing every once in a while.
That seems acceptable.
Yeah, for what I use it for. I have a bunch of like automated scripts that run on it. I actually think it's where, I probably know this, I think it's where our website's backed up. I hope it's where our website's backed up, where I expect our website to be backed up.
Wait, our website is backed up?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I have another stupid script that pushes to that subdomain. So whatever computer's that subdomain, map to that subdomain, I push sites and database dumps. So there's a backup somewhere. Not that it would be fun to restore, but at least it exists. And I check it occasionally, you know, like twice a year. Oh yeah, it's still working. Cool. Use Gary for your hosting needs.
Yes. Brought to you today by our sponsor, Gary, who you can hire for.
Well, there was a company, Mac Mini Colo, and you could pay like a monthly fee and co-locate a Mac Mini. And that was, for quite a while, I used that as web server because then I could also do other things on it. And that was nice. But then, like, the sites I was hosting kind of made sense to spin off to, like, a VPS, a DigitalOcean Droplet or something. But I started to miss that server. And, oh, yeah. And that was when I first started doing talks at WordCamp. So I had my thing where I would, like, stick Leonardo DiCaprio photos in every few slides. So the server's name was Leonardo, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. And I had like other services were named after movies he had been in. So I had like Titanic and I had Inception. It's a great question. It started like as I was doing these slides, I'm like, gosh, these are so dry. So I just thought it would be fun to sneak in Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know why I settled on Leonardo DiCaprio. I think because the movie where he and the bear wrestle, what was that called? Was out at the time. And it was like a sort of a story.
That's somewhat recent, though. That's like
maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, it is fairly recent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no reason.
I didn't see it.
I mean, I'm not trying to do that at all. It was just a thing. And I thought, you know, so Leonardo DiCaprio photos. And then... and then from there, I needed to screenshot like different services. So I named them after Leonardo DiCaprio movies. All right. And it's sort of stuck. We miss the naming machines thing, you know? Like that used to be a fun thing you did. You named your servers, but now
I have
so many or they're so insignificant. They changed so much.
Exactly. Changed so much. My mini is the first non sweet treat themed name, and it is very unimaginatively named Mini Me. Which felt like a good, because I was kind of done with the sweet treats thing. So the sweet treats thing started with when I worked at Event Espresso. I complained a lot about my computer because it was old, it was slow, I wasn't able to do things, and it was becoming a pain point. So the two founders of the company, or the founder of the company and the business guy who he joined it in as a partner, Garth and Seth, decided to for Christmas gift me with a new computer, but I didn't know that that's what it was. And what Seth told me in IRC, because we used IRC back in those days. What Seth told me is that, Garth needs your address so that he can drop by because his wife made a fruitcake and he wants to drop by. He's in town and he wants to drop this fruitcake by. And so he comes, and I kind of knew that it wasn't a fruitcake, but I also didn't know that it wasn't a fruitcake. Like, it could very well have been a fruitcake. And they're talking about it weird, like probably it wasn't a fruitcake, but it could still have been a fruitcake.
Like a fruitcake laced with something.
I mean, they're, you know, Garth's Mormon, so probably not. But so he shows up on they both actually show up at our place, and they're holding a big ass, also big ass.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, box with a 27-inch iMac, and so iMac became the fruitcake. So whenever I talk about the fruit, like, so then they're like, how's the fruitcake doing? And, the fruitcake is doing well. And so then after that, everything needed to be themed around that. So then I had, when we got another iMac, it was called Sugar Daddy, because I got it for Aaron.
That's amazing.
And when I passed on, and then when I got a laptop, the laptop is called Honey Bun. The iMac was, the other iMac was Sweet Cheeks. The laptop was Honey Bun, or yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad you started off with the fruitcake explanation, because otherwise all these other names
would seem really
out of context.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point too, but like after you got like Sweet Cheeks and Honey Bun and fruitcake and all this other crap, I was like, I don't have anywhere to go with this.
Yeah. You're like Star Wars planets.
Yeah.
I know. It's like you really have to switch up the themes after a while. Then you're like,
I named this laptop, and then I changed the name, so it kind of exists as two identities, because I named it Honey Bun, and then I realized I named this one Sugar Daddy, and then I realized that if Sugar Daddy appeared on my screen, like from the command line, that would be really bad if I was sharing my screen. So I quickly renamed it to Nyan Cat, So it exists on the network as Sugar Daddy, but like at least my terminal still says Nyan Cat.
Oh, the things that you have to take into consideration.
Yeah, like, that was a little late for me. And that's the point at which I realized these names are going a little bit too far
in one direction. When you're screen sharing and someone pops up like the terminal and it's still like white with black text.
I started working with on the mini, I started working with doing stuff in terminal because I was setting up Sickbeard and stuff. And it was the white with black text. I'm like, and because it's on a TV screen, it's like really small. It's like, okay, I need to do something about this theme. So I immediately changed it to just one of the built-in black with green text screens and increase the font size just to have something else. Yeah, I can. I would do like the whole custom colors thing, but I'm not going to be on that thing long enough for it to matter.
Yeah, so mine, I took my Zish profile and dropped it over on mine, so it matches it exactly. But I haven't plugged mine into a monitor. It's been a long time. In fact, the only thing I can plug it into is the iMac, and I put the iMac in target mode. Mm. Or use the screen there. I think it's called target mode. No, that's hard drive sharing. Video target mode? I don't know. Whatever it's called. So like when I haven't accessed it visually forever.
I like that sentence. I haven't accessed it visually in a while.
I'm looking at it right now. Looks good. So do we have a topic today?
We do. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
We should get to the topic before.
We can, yeah. The topic for today is the Grammarian's War.
I don't know anything about it, but I know my uncle was involved in it. He had to have been.
The Grammarian's War. Mm-hmm. Is this like, okay, so there are words in American English that are slightly different than words in British English. And there are words in
American. War is war.
And I think, no. And there are words in American English that are spelled different than words in British English. And the Grammarian's War is the conflict that Americans and British have over proper spelling, pronunciation, and definition of things like pants.
Yeah, that's an embarrassing one, isn't it? I thought that you were going the direction of, so can you please define grammarian in this sense? Is it the British definition or the American definition? And I was about to feel really dumb. Wait, I don't know that I knew that there was a difference.
But it's spelled the same.
Yeah, grammarians are pretty violent too, so.
Yeah, being in the South, obviously, the Grammarian War is with two families' elder mothers, their fists.
That's fair.
I think that happens a fair bit too.
Especially on the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, it's the two, they're not related grandmothers. They're like, you know,
right. Different sides of the family.
By marriage. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And you have the strict grandma and then like the warm and fuzzy grandma.
Yeah. It usually starts out with them arm wrestling. I don't know what you all do on holidays, but that's our tradition.
The airing of grievances.
We just call that Thanksgiving.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So your holidays are all then, clearly.
The Grammarian War. Grammarians? Grammarian.
Grammarians.
The Grammarians. Plural possessive.
It may still be ongoing. Plural possessive. It's like a Cold War.
It's a war between grammarians. It's a war between
It's the grammarians against the rest of us. It's a Cold War. Trying to.
Who are the rest of us? Like, how?
Everybody
do you,
who does not.
You're one of them.
Well, no. How do you? Is it a self-claimed identity?
Those who do not correctly use Oxford commas against those who correctly use Oxford commas. The Grammarian's War.
That seems accurate to me. Totally. Like, I would not be shocked if that were the case. Because really, people that I would categorize
because as really, comma.
people I would categorize, I just sprinkle commas throughout sentences, whether they're needed or not. And if I'm not sure there's a comma necessary, then I put three dots in. Like that's when you read Slack, like understand that Gary didn't know if a comma went there, he put three dots in. So, or it wasn't a complete thought, which is probably more likely, not a complete thought, like that last sentence. So I think though that we can all identify the grammarians. Like they self expose.
Self expose.
That's wow.
All right. Well, those grammarians.
The grammarians war, the war against the words coming out of Gary's and grammary's mouths.
Yeah, they remove their pants.
If you, yeah.
British or American.
If you pair that with your grandmother's, there's a lot of imagery happening here.
Wait, Freud would enjoy this podcast today.
I didn't foresee grammarians war taking this turn.
You never do, really. I mean,
no,
it's up on you.
It's like the Spanish Inquisition.
In a flash, as it were.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
No one ever does. Woo! A lot of breath from that. A little winded.
I'm glad we exposed the grammarians war.
Yeah. But not the grandmas.
Will we lose our rating?
we're rated...
Yeah, to be
explicit anyway.
Yeah, I was like, did we ever have the rating to begin?
No.
I think we started off no holds barred.
Yeah, no. I tag our podcast as explicit just for safety.
What? That's a good idea. Do you remember the topic of the first episode?
The topic of the first episode was barefoot running.
Barefoot running. I remembered it too. I felt the need to say it to confirm.
I gave the topic, but I wasn't actually there.
Yeah, that was the
which was a bold move, incidentally.
That was the beta version. That was the version where Gary and I actually tried to hold something together because you weren't the
glue. It was sort of like a topic grenade. Yeah. Like launched it and like took cover. Like,
yep.
I'm not dying.
I had no idea how to deal with that. Yeah.
we still have no idea what to do with it, but we've gotten better at not knowing what to do with it.
Somewhat.
I speak for yourself. I feel confident in not knowing what to do here.
It's, yeah, if anything else, I think it's just been a process of learning to be less confident in not knowing. And that's not, is that a life lesson we need? I don't know.
I was,
comfortable in it.
I'm pretty confident in not knowing. I actually recently said, yeah, this is not something that I would want to do all by myself for a month. About a potential project that was on the, like, I mean, I think it could be done. I think it could be done better with two people.
Nice.
I came to the realization last night that I like as a developer, I feel like I'm finally like at the bottom rung of the ladder. Like, I feel like I'm starting to like grasp things now.
You've attained the bottom rung.
I've reached the bottom rung. Yeah.
I think you're more than bottom rung, but. That's just from the person that's standing next to the house watching you on the ladder. That's what I think.
I think you're more than bottom rung, Gary.
I'll frame that. In the context of like kind of realizing like how deep the rabbit hole goes and in development practices and why. I certainly wrote functional code like previously. But I think there's a point now I've realized that in like the context of working in a team that there are constructs and there are design patterns that exist in code that may or may not actually be faster the first time you do them. But in long-term like maintenance of a project, that structure and that extensive abstraction is super important. Although I have been accused of over-engineering, so maybe I'm not the guy.
Yeah, there's a balance there. There's a balance there between being like abstracting something to the point of insanity and just writing it all in a single file or namespace or something, because that is all it's ever going to be.
Yeah. Do you guys remember Gorse, the visualizer?
Nope.
You can like pass a repo in SVN or Git, and it'll do like this really cool visual display. We could run our repo through it actually. I should do that.
Divorce? How do you? Could I get a definition? Could you spell that for me?
G. G-O-U-R-C-E. Yeah, I think it's gorse.io. So it's just this really weird thing that displays the commits and who did it and blah blah blah, and it's fun. And I don't know. It's a great way to visualize. You can kind of see patterns if you watch it a lot. Like certain people, when they hit a project, like they're guaranteed to create 8 files, regardless of what it is. This commit's going to have 8 files in it. You know, over the course of the day, they'll create 8 files. Doesn't matter how complex the thing is. I mean, it could be 800 files, but their minimum to make anything work is 8 files. Well, you could probably do it in some cases in one. You know, but
that's like if there was a data visualization of when I enter a project and like the level of commits, it is will just go.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah, just like that's definitely when Allison joined because.
Yeah, because we stopped making ridiculously huge single commits and now we're doing a whole bunch of tiny commits.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that in the case where you get super focused on a project or on a task and you get in and realize I've written 200 lines of code and not made a commit? Do you then?
I still break it up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So you go back and you say you like patch commit. And
that's why I use a visual. That's why I use Gitkraken as a visual Git client. Not because I don't actually use it anymore to make the actual commit and put the commit message, but I use it to select the chunks of code that I'm going to be committing, because that way I can see it as opposed to figuring out line numbers and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot. I do a lot in patch mode that way, but it's effectively the same thing. Just like it displays like a bunch of code change, like a block of code changes. Like, you want this part of the commit? Yes or no? And you just kind of iterate over that. And it's really a reminder for me, like what are the pieces that I did? You know, I think the first time I go through, if it's a large commit like that, I just go through and read it. I don't actually commit anything on the first pass.
No, anyway, the Grammarian's War. I think it's time to get a definition.
Oh yeah, so the Grammarian's War is it was a conflict between rival systems of how to teach Latin in the 1500s.
Ooh, even more fun than the British American English.
Was there actual bloodshed?
Things got pretty heated. I believe the direct quote that I found. What was it? It was pretty.
Those Latin instructors.
Vehemently waged in print between 1519 and 1521. So yeah, stakes were high. Old school, new school. there were pamphlets. Pamphlets exchanged. No bloodshed, but just pamphlets.
Maybe paper cuts.
1519 to 21.
When was the Gutenberg press? Right around that time, wasn't it?
Well, if they're printing 15 pamphlets, then probably.
I mean, that was my thought. I think that I closed my browser.
Well, you are now allowed to Google. and not shockingly, new school techniques and preferences for teaching Latin won out over the old school. But yeah, it's a... People joined in the fray on one side of another. Things got personal. Well,
I think.
Much like the current political climate.
Yeah.
And on that note, let's get to
Gutenberg Press.
So I submitted a question earlier over the break.
Siri.
And this was a result of some stuff that I was reading at the time.
Stop mumbling, Gary.
I can't help myself. It's what I do.
And so my question is to all of us, myself included, which it's a two-part question. Do you have Amazon Prime? And if so, could you ever see yourself canceling it and using alternatives to Amazon?
Yes.
Yes and yes? What would you use as alternatives? Just local? Just.
Let's look here. I just have to know.
Are you still Gutenberging? You are. Okay, I will answer.
1440. Okay.
I do not have Amazon Prime, so I don't know. If I did, I would like to think I would find alternative means, but I guess I already am finding alternative means.
So because I have Prime, and we use it a lot, mm-hmm. and we get things like various flours and baking stuff, and as well as like stuff that we need, and we get like everything on Amazon, and you know, we get lots of school supplies for the kids because they're, you know, unschooling, homeschooling stuff, doing it, whatever. We don't use it to just get random crap generally. Sometimes we do, but we try to avoid that. But basically, almost all of our shopping, and except for grocery shopping, happens on Amazon. So, and the alternative that I like that we could do, like if we weren't using Amazon, it would be like Walmart or Target or something. And neither of those, and Walmart is definitely not better. Target is a little bit better, but it wouldn't have the same amount and same type of stuff, and probably wouldn't be as cheap, which is the other thing. I don't care about how fast it comes necessarily, because I can wait, but like the price and the convenience and never having to leave the house, it would be rough. And we've actually recently been talking about maybe moving out of the city into like more rural, like away from people parts of Utah, and if we did that, then we'd be even more indebted to Amazon, because there's not going to be as many options locally.
Well, it's hard when you have to take, like, on an individual level, you have to take your actual like life budget and needs into consideration as well, because you're like, well, supplies for certain things, you're like, that's part of like how you live, so it's hard to cut things out when it's just not, it becomes a necessity, because otherwise, like if you did become more rural, like how do things make it to you otherwise? Yeah,
exactly. Right.
I don't know that I have much to add. The crappy part is there's just no good alternatives. I mean, there have been a couple of groups that have tried to spin up like an independent version of, right? So negotiate with a carrier on behalf of a bunch of small sellers. But then you have to turn around and figure out, well, how do they make their, you know, how does that third party make their money, right? And the consumer's not going to pay, you know, I'm already paying for Prime. Why am I going to pay another $100 a year for shipping, you know, across, I mean, even if it's 10,000 sites that I buy from once, you know? Although interesting, I'm surprised that some of these major channels like Shopify and BigCommerce have not tried to chase this down a little bit, you know? I mean, they're so seller oriented, you know, small business oriented. Did you see the number on Shopify on Black Friday? It was like 5% of traffic on sales went through a Shopify site. In previous years, I mean, they've been, you know, much lower. So I don't know. I mean, there's certainly some lashback against the Amazon, you know, monopoly on e-commerce that isn't really, but it certainly feels that way a lot of the time.
Good.
That is all I have to say about that.
It was so like, I wasn't sure if you were even frozen or not. Like,
thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.